In the ring with Eusebius Makaiser. Eusebius
Makaiser. I'm taking a chance and hoping that you can hear this audio quality, because I'm recording while walking around the area where I live, and that's because it's a beautiful day. The weather's been so cuck and inconsistent. When we have little sunshine moments, we've got to take them before we really are thoroughly into deep autumn, and before we know it, winter as well. I wanted to answer a question from a very good friend of mine who called me and said, "Friend, do you really trust Julius Malema? I saw your tweet in which you praised him for rocking up at the Ugandan embassy and protesting against the bill that criminalizes anyone identifying as gay. You know that Julius is being insincere, surely, and you can see through that crap. And in addition to that, this is just a classic example of a politician weaponizing a cause. He is weaponizing allyship. Like, explain to me your tweet, because when I saw your tweet, I was on some, I know you CBS can see through it, but then why the tweet? So I want to answer that question, because I think it's a very good question. It's a very, very good question. And I think a lot of people have that question as well, right? Firstly, do I think that the EFF is deeply, sincerely committed to progressive politics? That they are the gold standard for fighting for gender justice, reproductive health rights, for the rights of trans persons, queer community more broadly speaking? No, I don't. And I tell you why. I've got too many examples of individual women, for example, women journalists over the years that have been the victim of online violence on the part of both EFF leadership and also EFF foot soldiers who do things in the name of the party and are not reined in by their leadership, who can see what's going on and choose not to say anything. Everything from rape threats to death threats to body shaming, slander of all sorts of kinds in between. And that happens way too often, you know. And there are many examples, from a Paulie van Wyk to a Karima Brown to a Karen Morn and scores of other women in particular. They've done it to me too. Ad hominem responses to my work when they don't like it, and when I say something they do like, they retweet it with gay abandon, pardon the pun on gay. And that's how politics work. But here's the thing though, I'm not naive and blind to that. I mean, I'm old enough and experienced enough to know what the EFF is about. Julius and I are of a similar age, and as he is growing up in the political arena, so am I within the arena of journalism and political analysis. So of course I know what they're about. They're inconsistent, and they are a weird mixture of 1 second deeply committed to using aspects of the constitutional architecture, including the courts, as democratic ways of engaging the government of the day and in service of certain causes. And then the next minute, they have anarchist praxis that make you go, you don't know which Julius would wake up the morning after being elected as president of the country. And that lack of consistency, lack of predictability is of course a political problem. But why did I retweet and praise him? And is my friend right that I did it, which I didn't say at the beginning of this little recording, in part perhaps because the ANC's silence is so deafening and the leadership bar so low in terms of government's silence when it comes to speaking out against regimes in the world that trample on human rights, that an opposition party leader with a checkered record can suddenly look as if they're having a good day at the office? And the answer is actually yes, it is some of that, right? Because if you are a queer person in Uganda right now, and before this bill even gets signed into law, you already have MPs as legislators creating an environment that is conducive to hate crimes. It's actually neither here nor there whether the president signs this bill into law. because the message at a social level already sent to society is that gay people are fair game for attack, to be killed. And often that is a harder thing to tackle, as any social justice activist will tell you, in the fabric of society, than changing the laws of a country. You can decriminalize homosexuality and still have homophobia. And the message that has been sent and the atmosphere created by the mere passing of this bill, before we even get to presidential assent, is that being gay is fundamentally immoral, un-African, and that anyone who is gay should be hated, and that you would be morally within your rights, if not legally, to, you know, to take down any person who self-identifies as gay. And that's even before they have done anything in terms of same-sex sex and same-sex relations. Now, in that context, we need every single person to don the rainbow flag and to say, not in our name. As Julius said, being African doesn't mean you must be barbaric. And he's spot on. And his supporters are very homophobic. You can see it in how they responded to him announcing the march online. And the vast majority of them, anecdotally, were on some, CIC, we generally support you, but on this one, you're out of order. As a matter of sovereignty, don't interfere. Alternatively, they will say, being gay is wrong. Are you gay? Ah, you and Floyd, maybe you are having a relationship. And despite that, he took on this cause. Now, you've got to ask yourself, if we are conspiratorial, what is the advantage to be gained here? Outshining the ANC is such a minimal gain that the downside of pissing off your own base that clearly is not exactly progressive on the question of queer rights means that that is not a calculation that Julius and Floyd could possibly have thought, even if one played an imperfect maths game, is a calculation that favors going on the march rather than not going on the march. There was far more to be gained from simply also being silent when you take into account the kind of views that are held by EFF supporters. And in that context, for me, the inconsistency, the unpredictability of whether Julius would do the same and march against, I don't know, Putin on the gay question, the bar for praising someone when there are so few people on our side as gay people can't be, are you the perfect ally? No one is the perfect ally. I've got gay friends who fail the allyship test when it comes to their commitment to speaking out against transphobia. And that's within our community as queer people. I've got gay friends who are cisgender who don't say anything when an effeminate male gets taunted, hated on because they are not butch. They're not perfect allies. I'm not a perfect ally. So the question can't be, why are you praising someone for what they did on a particular occasion, knowing that they're not a perfect ally? Because if perfect allyship is a precondition for being told what you did symbolically on that particular day is really useful to us, then I'm afraid no one should ever be praised. Because none of us are full-time perfect allies. Not me, not you listening, not the ANC, not our favorite historic figures that were great examples of social justice warriors, not even your favorite social justice activists who are most active right now. Even amongst ourselves as oppressed groups, as black people, as women, as queer people, internal to our communities of oppression, we ourselves have biases that play out every 5 minutes of the day. And so the quest for consistency is one that's inherent in all of our lives. Is that an excuse for the EFF to not do better more often? No, of course not. But the same applies to the ANC, to the DA, to the ACDP, to you and I as individuals, to corporate citizens who will pretend when it's gay pride that simply lighting up the side of their headquarters and the rainbow flag for 3 days means that they support queer people. But then you go and look at the treatment of queer people in the company, and you'll find that there's a mismatch between the temporary symbolism of support and what actually happens from a cultural DNA point of view. So I'm at a place in my life where, no, to answer my friend, it's not a case of you take any allyship from whence you can get it, right? You got to call out people for their inconsistency. And also, you can't give someone a Nobel Prize for simply showing a whiff of allyship. But I don't think those are the two extremes we have to deal with. In the context of how rampant homophobia is on the continent and in the country, in that context, Julius did stand out as a political figure. And the fact that brand EFF and brand Julius are divisive brands doesn't mean that it makes no sense to praise him for what he did. What he did was important. And if you don't think it's important, then you really should speak to gay people who live under conditions of terror where consensual sex is outlawed. In that context, the kind of support that Julius gave symbolically was important, regardless what all the motivations were behind it, including calculating that it might look good.